greet you in the marvelous name of Jesus the Christ. And we say that it's good to be here. Amen, amen. Deacon, you've already preached a sermon. I can just go ahead and say the benediction. Come on, somebody. A lot has already been said. It was God's grace. Amen. It was nothing but the grace of God that we made it this far. Amen. Again, we greet you in Jesus' name, and we say that it's good to be here. If you will, please, just put your hand back in the holy word of God. Amen. And we'll go back and look at our text. But just for a moment, if we can just bow and give God some praises, invite the Holy Spirit to rest, rule, and abide with our hearts, that we may continue praising him. May we bow. God, we thank you that you're a mighty good God. Above thee there is none other. And so we look to thee with every bit of faith and trust in you, in that whatever we're going through, Father, we know that if we cast our cares upon thee, thou will give us the desires of our hearts, because we know that you care for us. And so, Father, the time has come for your word to be preached. Somebody's going through something, Father. Somebody just needs the assurance that all is going to be all right in their lives. In the name of Jesus, we just ask that thou would send the Holy Spirit upon him or her and touch him and touch that person. Let them know that all is well and that you're working things out for their good. Give them the assurance, O Lord, that in you there is no failure, because you are the author of peace. Give them peace and understanding that will be above all confusion. We ask in Jesus' name, and for his name's sake we pray, O Lord. Amen. Amen, amen. Luke Gospel, a very familiar passage of scripture. Now, I need your presence and your amens. I don't have a long sermon, amen. But we'll give God praises and grace and mercy that he has blessed us anyway. So we'll continue praising him. If you will look at, amen, amen, verse number 12. And it reads as follows. As he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were leprous, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. Amen. And he was a Samaritan. It says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, with a loud voice turned back and glorified, and fell down at his feet, giving him thanks. We'd like to use for a subject this morning, thank you, Jesus. Come on, somebody. Thank you, Jesus. And let me see, can I note that again? It says, and one fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. Amen. Amen. My brothers and my sisters, it is without a doubt, God has been good to all of us. Regardless of what's going on in your life, be it something good or something bad, still God has been good to all of us. In that in the least, and that's the least we can say, is thank you, Jesus. When I look back over my life and just for a moment think things over, I can't help but say thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the family that you blessed me with. Thank you for the job you blessed me with. Thank you for the clothes that you blessed me with. Thank you for the cars, come on, somebody, that you blessed me with. Thank you for the money that you blessed me with. Thank you for the house that you blessed me with. Thank you for the friends that you blessed me with. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done for me. Because if it had not been for you on my side, awful would be my case. And so on this Sunday eve of Thanksgiving, today we give thanks because God has richly blessed us. He has met our needs. We have been enjoyed. We have enjoyed his presence, and we have been touched by his great providence. As Christians, so much of what we have is a result of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Just where would we be without the works of Jesus Christ's goodwill? And so the focus of our message is on that, what Jesus has done for us. Today we say thank you, Jesus. Come on, somebody. Today we say thank you, Jesus. This morning I want us to look in the book of Luke chapter 17. In this book, we do see Jesus doing a miracle, showing favor, but out of all of being a servant who does a simple thank you, out of all of the miracles recorded in the Bible, this is perhaps one of the least acknowledged and probably one of the least preached book on this of Jesus Christ. As I ponder in the Spirit of the Lord on what to preach on, honestly, I can thank God for sending me in this text. You see, this coming Thursday is Thanksgiving. Families all across this nation will be sitting down to enjoy the abundance of food that the Lord has provided. This is the day we set aside to focus on how thankful we are for all of the many blessings that our Heavenly Father has given us. But how can we be thankful if we have not submitted our will to the Lord's will? How, goodwill, can we show gratitude if we're refusing to let Him into our lives? I think we need to sacrifice something to God before we can give thanks to Him. I think we need to sacrifice our pride and our independence. When we give up that, we are humbling our hearts. And when we have a humbling heart, God is then able to work His miracles in and around us. Goodwill, have you ever taken the time to ponder over what giving thanks really means or how we should do it? The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonica chapter 5, verse 18, in that in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Well, I think I better say that again because you can tweet that. It says, in everything give thanks. Come on, somebody. He says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In other words, we are to give thanks to God in all circumstances. The Word of God tells us that we should be thankful in everything. Now, that doesn't mean we are thankful for bad things that happen, but we are thankful because it is in those bad things we can seek peace in God. It is in those bad things we can seek solace in the Lord. Goodwill, we all ought to be thankful that we serve a God who wants to have that kind of relationship with us, that when it's bad happening in your life, you can come to Him. Come on, somebody, and still be thankful. In that no matter how bad and awful things are in our lives, we can still find peace in Him, knowing that He's going to work things out for our good. Well, I wish I had some praises in here. No matter how bad things are in your life, come on, somebody, He's still going to work it out for your good. And so as we look at our text, there are three things that claims our attention as to why we should be thankful, as to why we should say thank you, Jesus, for it. Can we look at it just for a moment? Well, the first reason we should say thank you to Jesus for is that He made the ultimate sacrifice. I think I need to say it again. We need to say thank you to Jesus because He made the ultimate sacrifice. Self-sacrifice, as noted, and we see this in the book, as it's noted in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 6 through 8. Write it down. The ultimate sacrifice was made in Philippians, chapter 2, verse 6 through 8. It says, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Verse 8 is where the meets the road. It says, and being found in fashion as man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, and even the death of the cross. He made the ultimate sacrifice. He says, and been found in the fashion, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, the ultimate sacrifice, even the death of the cross. Goodwill, Thanksgiving is a time where we are often mindful of what we have already received. Thanksgiving reminds us of the good things done for us or to us. It reminds us of the blessing we have received from above. And it's a time of giving thanks for the meaningful things in our lives. But goodwill, out of all we have received from our own hard work and from the gifts that others have blessed us with, make no mistake about this. The one most important reason we first should want to give thanks unto God is for what Jesus did. He gave up his home in heaven for us. The life of Jesus is the most powerful example of self-sacrifice. Being found in the fashion of man, self-sacrifice, and became obedient unto death, self-sacrifice, even the death of the cross. He gave up his life. Come on, somebody. For us, Jesus was willing to give up his place in heaven. He was willing to accept limits in coming to be with us. Instead of holding on to the riches of what he had in heaven, come on, somebody. Jesus chose to give it all up, to let it all go, and to come to be with us. And just in case you're asking, why did he do that for us? Paul tells us in Romans 5:8 is why Jesus made the self-sacrifice for himself. He said, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet, he said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And for that, do we give thanks to Jesus? Jesus was willing to make the incredible sacrifice for our salvation because we were yet sinners. That's a praise time right there. He made the ultimate sacrifice because we were yet sinners. He made the ultimate sacrifice because we were yet sinners. We did some wrong, but yet he made the ultimate sacrifice. And for that goodwill, do we give thanks that Jesus was willing to make the incredible sacrifice because we were yet sinners. He left his righteous place in heaven to take on your sins and my sins. And for that, we say thank you, Jesus. Oh, come on, somebody. And for that, we say thank you, Jesus. Do we have anybody over here who can say thank you, Jesus? Goodwill, no one else could do what Jesus did for us. His blood cleansed us from our mistakes, from our wrongdoings, and from our sinful ways. That's why I love Robert Lowry, hymn number 141. Nothing but the blood, where it says, what can wash my sins away? Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow, nor the fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so secondly, we can say thank to Jesus. The second reason we can thank for Jesus is he is our human servant. We can say thank you to Jesus because, let me say it over here, he is our human servant. Well, I'm gonna fix it for you. He is our human servant. He is our human servant. And we see that in our text. Here in our text, Luke says in verses 12 through 14, he says, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Goodwill, a part of self-sacrifice of Jesus Christ, is not only where Jesus laid aside all of his riches and glory to be with and among us, but more so, Jesus became a servant to serve us while we were yet sinners. He became a servant to serve us because while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Philippians 2:7 says, but been made of no reputation, and he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. My brothers and my sisters, Jesus became a servant to all of mankind. And so the question is, what do we know about Jesus' servanthood? Know this, Jesus was a willful servant. Jesus was not forced to be a servant, but he made himself to be a servant. Jesus was truly a servant. The purpose of his coming was to serve. The mission that he carried out day by day was that of service. And we know this because the Bible tells us in John 4, verse 34, where Jesus said unto me, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. He became the lowest of servants. Nothing as compared to what he gave up, because he was born in a barn among the animals to be a servant. And he became the very nature of a true servant who saved, who healed, who set free all of those who were in bondage to sin and diseases. Or I think I need to say that again. He became a true servant who saved and healed and set free all of those, come on somebody, that were held in bondage. I'm patting my chest because I was held in bondage and in sin. But because of Jesus, he set me free. Make no mistake about this. Jesus truly took upon the garment of servanthood. And we know this because the text says, as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, have mercy on us. The text says, while traveling to Jerusalem, Jesus was hollered at from a distance. Let me say that again. He was hollered at from a distance by 10 men who had the dreadful disease of lepers. And so because of their disease, they couldn't mix and mingle with others, but they had to stay out isolated so that they would not infect others with diseases. As they stood afar off, they lifted up their voices. And in faith, they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. I wish I had some folk in here who can say like the lepers, I got something wrong in me. But Jesus, come on, Master, have mercy on us. Goodwill, their faith in Jesus activated his servant power to heal them. Their faith in Jesus activated his servant favor to make them whole again. It was their faith in Jesus that activated his servant blessing to give them the desires of their hearts. If we have some faith believers in here, all you gotta do is holler at him, Jesus. Come on, somebody. We're having the faith believers in him. You may not have lepers, but you got something wrong with you. But if you get to just look up and say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. Jesus, Master, send it on down. Jesus, Master, bless me anyhow. No wonder the word of God tells us in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Jesus rewarded them because of their faith. Well, they were cleansed and made whole again and able to enter back into society. Isn't that what Jesus did for you? The moment he saved you through your faith, he cleansed you from all unrighteousness and restored your relationship with God through him, making you a part of God's society and a part of God's family. Oh yeah, I know Kirk Franklin said, come on somebody, God's family, but God's, you were made a part of God's family a long time ago.
You ought to be able to give him some praises because you are part of God's family. Jesus looked down from on high and saw your needs. Jesus looked down from on high and sent you the blessing that you need. If you have faith, he'll still bless you anyhow. But when he blesses you, can you give him some thanks? Can you give him some praises? Jesus, my brothers and sisters, stopped in the middle of his journey and he became a human servant by healing the 10 because of their earthly doctors, because what earthly doctors couldn't do, he restored them back to normal because earthly medicine couldn't do it. And he gave them hope and a new beginning on life because nobody else could do it. And for that, we say thank you, Jesus, because of what he did for them. Good, we'll know that he'll do the same thing for you. But you just got to tell him what you need. They needed mercy. So they said, Jesus, have mercy on us. If there's anybody here that needs something, won't you give him a Jesus praise? Look up and tell him what you need. Look up and tell him what you want. And so for that, we say thank you. And so thirdly and lastly, as to why we say thank you to Jesus, the third reason is we are expected to say thank you. Come on, somebody. Just for a moment, look at your neighbor and tell him when Jesus does something for you, you are expected to say thank you. Can I share it to you in the text? Come on, somebody. Let me just say it over here. You are expected to say thank you, Jesus. You are expected to say thank you, Jesus. You are expected to say thank you, Jesus. Let me show it to you in the text. Here in the text, my brothers and my sisters, it's in this text. It is often said that people don't have to be nice to you. But when they do, the least thing you can say is, thank you. Come on, somebody. Jesus was truly a servant. The purpose of his coming was to serve. The mission that he carried out day by day was that of serving, because he became a human servant. Undoubtedly, there are other servants in the heavenly realm, but Jesus did not take up the role of a heavenly servant like an angel, but instead he took up a human form and became a human servant. Been made in the human likeness, living in human flesh, serving human beings. And so in the text, it was the faith of the 10 lepers in Jesus that got them their blessing of being made whole again. As seen here in the story, it was their faith that got them healed, and their faith alone in Jesus Christ. Jesus rewarded them because of their faith, as seen in verse 14. They were cleansed and made whole again and able to enter back into society. Isn't that what Jesus did for you? The moment he saved you through your faith, he cleansed you from all unrighteousness, and he restored your relationship with God through him, making you a part of God's society and a part of God's family. And so I say all of that, but to get to the real meat of the sermon, and look at verse 15 and verse 16. It says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. But the key verse is verse 17. Look at the response of Jesus. He says, were not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They're not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. Jesus said, I heal 10. I cleanse 10 men from leprosy. But only 1 out of 10 came back to thank God and to give him the glory and the honor that he deserves. Now look at that. He expected them to come back and give him some glory. He expected them to come back and give them some praise. Friends, you are expected to give God some praises. You are expected to give God some glory. If God woke you up this morning, you ought to give him some praises. If God healed your body, you ought to give him some praises. No wonder the other nine. If God saved your child, you are expected to give him some praises. If God healed your body, you are expected. I say you are expected. If he gave you a job, you are expected to praise him. If he watched over you last night, you are expected to thank him. If he healed your body, you are expected. I wish I had some folks in here who are not like the nine, but are like the one, because you know what God has done for you. Did he heal your body? Is there one over here? You can give him a hallelujah praise. That servant thought about what God did for him. He fell down and looked up and said, thank you, Jesus. Is there anybody who can look up? Can you look up and thank him for watching over you? Can you look up and praise him for blessing you? You are expected to give him some praises. That's why we have Thanksgiving, because he gave his life for us to give him some thanks, to give him some praises, to give him, I wish I had some folks who don't mind giving him a hallelujah praise. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He's been good to you, say so. Brought you from another long ways, say so. Watched over you, say so. Forgive you, say so. Heal you, say so. Made a way out of no way, praise him. Come on, somebody. I don't need nine, but I need just one. Is there one? Come on, somebody, because not everybody are going to praise him. But can you, will you be the one? Are you, is you the one who can look back over your life and think about how good God has been to you? But when you look at your shoes, when there was a time you didn't have shoes, but thank God for your shoes, can you look back over your life and think about when you only had one piece of garment, one clothes with holes on it, but now you can look in your closet, you can look and you can't make your mind up what you're going to put on because God has blessed you. You ought to give him some praises. That's why we say thank you, Jesus. That's why, make no mistake, you are expected to say thank you. You are expected to say thank you, Jesus. You are expected to say thank you. That's why that song said, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, tell me, where would I be? I wish I had some hope. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, tell me, where would I be? Thank you, Jesus. Come on, somebody. Just look back over your life and see what he's done for you. And say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God expects all of us to say thank you because he made the ultimate sacrifice. And not only that, he is our human servant. Whatever you need, God's got it. He got the whole world in your hand. But you got to take whatever you need to him and him only. The 10 lepers, in faith, looked out and said, thank you, Jesus. And only one came back. Now, do understand this now. The other nine weren't disobedient because he said, go and show thyself to the priests. And they did that. But what they failed to do was they made it about them and not God. Come on, somebody. They didn't sacrifice a moment of their times just to go back and say thank you. See, they could have still gone back and said thank you like the one and went about their business. When God does something for us, don't put him on the back burner. But the word of God says, first seek ye the kingdom of God. And all these things, come on, somebody, will be added unto you.
you put him first. He is the ultimate servant. He will. The word of God says he will not withhold anything good from you. Whatever you need, if you put him first and take it to him in prayer, he will come to see about you. And just know this. When God blesses you, hold me somebody. When he restores you, talk to me somebody. When he gives you a job, when you're jobless, when he heals your family member, when they're sick, when he comes into your room, when you don't know what to do, your mind is messed up, you can't sleep at night, you cry all night long, and he comes to see about you, you expect it to say, thank you, Jesus. Because when joy comes in the morning, you expect it to give him some praises. That's why we say, thank you, Jesus. Because what he has done for us. I'm finished here. I hope somebody understood that. Don't be like the nine. Obedient, but yet selfish. Come on, somebody. We can be obedient, yet selfish. Me, myself, and I. And as we look into the new year, we're going to look at the theme as the importance of sacrificial giving. That's the theme for the new year. The importance of sacrificial giving. Jesus sacrificed his life. And that was important for all of us. He made the ultimate sacrifice as human servant to serve us. And for that we give him praises. Forget, we give him glory. I know you may be quiet, but just think about what God has done for you. With your eyes closed, and if nobody's in here looking at you, you can give him a hallelujah praise, because you know what he did for you. Just be the one to praise him. Just be the one to glorify him. Just be the one to magnify him. You know what he's done for you.
Amen.
And just say, thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, for my